trust and obey. Sometimes it's hard to trust. Sometimes it takes all of our faith to trust. Step out in faith and obey. That is what faith is all about, isn't it? Are we on the same channel? All right, just turn off those cell phones. It's amazing what you can do with cell phones. You can do everything except drive. I'd like you to open your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 12. Last week, I preached on some of the last words of those that died on Calvary's Hill and the significance of last words, what they mean to others and what they can say about us. Jesus' final days, he continues to hammer the mighty truth about himself, that as if for the very last time he was talking to some of his hearers here in John chapter 12 about the connection that he had with his Father and the intimate union between him and our Heavenly Father. He was telling his hearers that to refuse his words were to refuse the Father's words, because they were in perfect union. That his mission and his message were the result of the eternal counsel of the Blessed Trinity, and that his working and his words were the Father's, and that he was in obedience to his Heavenly Father. He was saying that if you despise my words, you're despising the God of your Father. What a statement from him. Only Jesus could make a bold statement like that and not lie. He's saying, if you despise my words, you're despising the God of Abraham. If you're despising my words, you're despising the God of Isaac and Jacob. And I want us this morning to explore our Lord's obedience and how that his obedience secures our salvation. We can more appreciate his obedience and his subjection to the Father, and how he humbled himself and became poor that you and I might be spiritually rich. And in so doing, looking at his obedience, that we will love him more. As we love him more, we want to obey him more out of a heart full of love. In John chapter 12, verse 44, please. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not of... Let me start over. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me, this is the verse, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. Word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And I want to call your attention to those last two verses that I want to talk about this morning. Jesus' obedience. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Jesus' obedience. Well, the word means, of course, to carry out or to fulfill the commandment or order or instruction of another. These words, the word obedience also refers to willingness. Refers to willingness or submission or observance. In the Bible, the word is used most often in the sense of subjecting to the will of God and his words or his commandments. I want us to look at the obedience of Christ this morning. First of all, his obedience to the will of the Father, his obedience to the work of forgiveness, his obedience that actually wins our freedom and God willing, that after we look at these verses and scriptures, that we'll appreciate the fact that Jesus was obedient to the Father, because without Jesus' obedience, we would not be saved. Amen? And then so that we can appreciate his obedience more and love the Lord more, and in loving the Lord more, we want to serve him better. Well, first of all, I'd like you to call your attention to verse 49. I want us to consider how we benefit from the obedience of Christ to his heavenly Father. Obedience, first of all, to the will of the Father. In verse number 49 of chapter 12 of John, Jesus said, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me." The Father which sent me. Jesus was obedient in coming to this earth. The Father which sent me. Thank God that Jesus was willing to be obedient to the Father in coming to earth. Think of what he left in heaven. Think of the glory and splendor that was his in eternity with the Trinity. And he was willing to lay that aside and take on himself the form of a man and humble himself in the fashion of man to secure our salvation. But first of all, I want to call your attention that he was obedient in coming. He wanted to come down here in obedience to the Father which sent me, to leave all that was his in glory and descend, and to humble himself, being found in the fashion of a man, a real man, not in appearance only, but a perfect man, in body and soul, with all the attributes of our humanity, and yet sinless. Imagine being sinless and coming to a sinful world. What would await him? What did await him? It was needful for him to assume this fashion in order for him to atone for our sins. He had to come for our atonement. He endured much in this fashion. This humility teaches us the folly of pride. Think of the humility that Jesus was for our example. To leave his place in heaven to become a man. What humility. What a blow to our pride. Amen. Pride was the first sin of man in the garden. Pride is a terrible sin. He became obedient to teach us obedience. His obedience was to death, even the death of the cross. Teach us self-denial. Self-denial is a hard thing sometimes. Put ourselves last. Think of others. If we could more fully understand the depth of his humiliation in becoming a man, in stooping to become one of us, I think we'd love him even more. He condescended to put his neck under the yoke of the law, the one that made the law. He endured sorrow and shame and reproach to take our place. Yes, he was obedient in coming. He was obedient in the command. And in the commission, the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Thank God he was willing to come. Secondly, he was obedient in the work of forgiveness. I'd like you to look at Romans 5:19, please. Romans 5:19. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. 519. Love to hear those pages turning in the church. Amen. Aren't you glad God gave us the Bible? Romans 5:19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. This, of course, speaking about the comparison of Adam and Jesus. The disobedience of one, Adam, many were made sinners. But by the obedience of one, Jesus, many are made righteous. We're made righteous by his obedience. The fact that he obeyed the Father led a perfect life down here. Thank God. Obedience to the work of forgiveness through the curse. By his obedience, the curse is broken. By the obedience of Christ, the curse of sin is broken. Thank God. Thank the Lord for Jesus. His obedience broke the power of the curse that came from the fall of Adam. What a fall, man, stepped off of. To be in perfect fellowship with God 1 minute, and then to be under the curse and condemnation of sin and judgment the next minute. What a fall. But by the obedience of Christ, that curse has been lifted and broken. Yes? Philippians chapter 2 says, "And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And that's how he condescended to be a man, even lower than the angels, willing to be found in the fashion of a man. His whole life was a life of poverty and suffering, and the lowest being his very death itself. As a common criminal, as he died on Calvary's old rugged cross, numbered with the transgressors. Common criminal, they said. He was exposed to public scorn and hatred. How he condescended for us, amen. They scorned him, they hated him. Imagine the creator of the universe viewing his kingdom from the cross. And shame. That's how far he condescended. That's how far he obeyed God to secure our salvation. Thank God he was obedient to the work of forgiveness. Being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. 1 Peter says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." And so his obedience unto death caused us to be reconciled to God. Thank God he was willing to be obedient unto death, because without that, you and I would not be reconciled to God. What love Father has bestowed upon us. The end result of our Lord's suffering was to bring us back to God. Thank you, Lord. To be reconciled. In other words, that both sides now are at peace. Isn't it nice to be at peace with God? It's not through any effort of our own. It's not through any merit of our own. But it's because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Never forget that. Dear brothers and sisters. Amen. Never forget that. It's the work of Christ. Nothing that we could do or ever could do. If Christ suffered, and also if Christ suffered in this world, it was not free from it, we should not also expect to be free from him, suffering in this world. There is some suffering in this world for believers. It takes on all different forms. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's even problems at work, problems in the neighborhood. If they crucified someone who was perfect and sinless, think of what's possible for you and me, who are not perfect and sinless. Although, in the eyes of God, it's different. Noah's temporal salvation in the ark, upon the water, carried him far above the flood, is a picture of our eternal salvation in Christ. Imagine, Noah preached 120 years on judgment. 120 years Noah preached that God was going to destroy the world. And if they would enter the ark, they'd be safe. They would enter that ark of safety and obey God's word, obey God's command, and prepare for the day to come, they would be safe. That ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those that run to Christ are safe from the wrath to come. Why? Because he was judged in our place. He died. Sinner's death on the cross so that you and I could be free. And his obedience enables us to have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. I also want us to consider his obedience that won our freedom. I'd like you to look at John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. We've been singing songs on obedience today, have you noticed? Sunday school, obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily, obeying brings joy. As for a Christian, John chapter 14 and verse number 6. You find it? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. His obedience gave us a way to the Father. Because of his obedience, we have a way to God. Through Christ alone, we are accepted in the Beloved. Right now, we are accepted in the Beloved on the merits of Christ. With all the privileges of a member of his family. That could be a part of the family. Amen. The privileges of the family. You and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we've been adopted into God's family. We are accepted in the Beloved. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Amen. Washed in the Spirit, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as I travel along. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Yes, his obedience gave us a way to the Father. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Christ made that historic statement, and people have been stumbling over it ever since because of their pride. They say, no, not just by you, but by my goodness or by my ability to repent or my ability to do good things. No, that's a stumbling block. You've got to come as you are. And that's the truth of it. That's the shock of it. You say, come to God as I am, in my condition, exactly as you are. Bring nothing. Come as you are, just as I am, without one thing. That blood was shed for me, and as thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Some people put it off and procrastinate and say, I'll come to God when I get things straightened out. That's not coming as you are. That's trusting in your good works. That's trusting in you saying to God, There is some measure of goodness in my old sinful carnal nature that can please you. There's nothing in our old sinful nature that can please us. If that were true, Jesus would not have to leave heaven's glory and obey God and say, I will go. His obedience brought freedom. I'd like you to look at John chapter 8, please, verse 36. John chapter 8, verse 36. You find it? Take our word for it. Don't take our word for anything. Read your Bibles. Amen. You say, well, in my religion, they don't tell me to read my Bible. We're telling you to read your Bible. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, what? Amen. You say, what do you mean? What does it mean to be free? It means freedom. Freedom to love. Freedom to love him. You don't feel sorry for people that love others. You find it hard to express love. You find it even difficult to receive love or respond to love. You say, well, why do you love God? You got to respond to the call of God and his love for you before you in turn can even know anything about love. All through February we're going to be talking about love and faith. God, that he loves him. Yes, we're free to love him, free to serve him, free to not allow sin to have dominion over us anymore. In other words, total control over our lives. Thank God it's different than that. We are free to be blessed by God. That's what freedom is all about. Not freedom to do what you want and say what you want and live like you want. That's not freedom. That's slavery. But he has made us free so we can serve him. We have been created to serve the Lord. You and I have been created to bring honor and glory to God, this world, this universe. Even though we're still under the curse, even though we swim against the tide, even though we go against the grain, amen. Even though we go against the current, even though everyone else is going the opposite way, an honor and glory unto the Lord to have some people to go the opposite. Amen. Yes, we have his obedience brought us freedom. Freedom to love and serve him. His obedience also brought faith to our life. For by grace are you saved through faith. And I'll be speaking on faith. You can make it back to life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Grace. We are saved by grace. What is grace? Without any respect of human worthiness, by faith coming to God with an empty hand, without any pretense, and asking only to receive His blessing, unworthy as we are. That is grace. Well, I can read verse 10 also in Romans chapter 8, 28, 29, and 30. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. The Bible says that we are to walk in good works after we are saved. We're not justified by good works, but we're to walk in good works. And it's the good works that He has prepared for us to walk in. In other words, He has created good works for us that are especially suited for us individually. We are to ask God what those good works are that we're capable of obeying Him and doing for His honor and glory. All we have in Christ and all His promises come to us because Jesus was obedient to the Father. And He came here and He became obedient even to the death of the cross. Though He didn't want to die, though He was willing to bypass that if it were possible, but when it was not possible, He said, "Yes, Father, I'll do it. I'll still obey." His love for us should make us want to be obedient to Him. Even now, He represents us to God the Father. And you and I are to represent Him down here on this earth. And God help each of us want to obey Him out of a heart of love. Because He is certainly worthy of it. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You so much for Your love for us. Think of Your obedience to the Father in the work of forgiveness, also in just the fact that You would come to this world and to live the life that You did and to die the death that You did for us. We ask You, Father, to have Your will in our lives this morning. We thank You for Your obedience. Father, we pray You have Your will done this morning. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, as we get ready to close our service in a few moments. I wonder if there'd be anyone here this morning who say, "Pastor Janky, if I died this morning right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Never been a time in my life when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart. And this morning I believe He's knocking at the door of my heart. I'd like to invite Him to come in this morning. I want to be remembered in prayer." Anyone like that this morning, just lift your hand up high. I can see it. Anyone like that? Father, I pray You'd have Your will done in our lives this morning. We ask You to bless this invitation now in a special way.